Welcome to Iteration, a weekly podcast about programming, development, and design. Hey, I'm John, and I'm a software developer for a home services startup, and I am joined, as always, by JP, my co-host. Hey, JP.
How's it going? So I'm JP. I'm a software engineer currently looking for a new job in the final stages of a software. I don't know why I'm stumbling right now. I'm very tired. in the final stages of a very small stealth startup. So that's exciting. Hopefully we'll have some news to share in the near future. But we'll see what happens. And as always, nothing is guaranteed in this COVID-19 world that we are currently in.
Crazy stuff. But I'm glad to hear you're in final stages with something. That's exciting. I love the idea of working for a stealth stage startup because it feels like you're like a secret agent of some kind. You just have to extra cover your tracks and you can't talk about that. Can't talk about details relating to my work. It's like you're a mercenary of some kind.
Yeah, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Exactly. I could tell you, but I'd have to make you sign an NDA first. That's more accurate. So I've had a crazy productive couple weeks, and I feel like I'm coming to this call only running on coffee. I'm just so tired lately, and I think it's just because I've been cranking out a ton of code. I've been doing a lot within our platform with just regarding some like really crazy CSS stuff and custom domains, and we're trying to build basically a website builder on our own website, and that comes with a lot of really interesting problems to solve. So I've been super heads down on that lately. What about you, JP?
Yeah, also been heads down working on a Rails project. A lot of full stack development. I'm working on like a consulting project, and it's honestly has just been so much work, more work than I anticipated. And I'm starting to see the value of, I was telling you this before the call, but like I'm starting to see the value of product managers just because I didn't realize how much work I knew that there was a lot of work that goes into like planning and stuff that product managers do and even project managers. I know there's a difference. I don't want to conflate the two and you know, assume that or like make it come across that I think that their jobs are the same.
Yeah.
But when you're consulting, you have to do a bit of product and project management yourself because otherwise it's just like, if you're just like a solo engineer, you're kind of just working until things get done with like no end in sight and there's like no real goals. So you have to like do a little bit of management yourself such that like, you know, when you have your weekly check-in, it's like, hey, what am I going to get done in the next week? Or, you know, what do I foresee being like huge roadblocks in the future so that we can like get those things unblocked right now. And it would just be nice to work on consulting projects and not have to do any of that. I think like in an ideal world, everyone out there who's like an engineer who's consulting would love to just like have everything clearly defined, be able to just like go in and execute and be shielded from things like scope creep and all of that good stuff. And I don't know, I think that having been doing a lot more consulting in the last like couple of months, I've really come to respect the work that you've been doing over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 years with Better, because I didn't realize how hard this was to like do all of this stuff and just be like, having to like manage client expectations and having to like product manage and project manage and like do engineering on top of all of that. It's insane. It's like very tough. I never realized.
The world of software, I feel like, is 60-70% project management, communication, expectation setting, and then like 30-40% actually writing the code. That's kind of what I found with running the agency. And it's easy to look at consulting and be like, oh yeah, I could jump into that. And it's like, there's a lot that goes with it. But we have a whole episode on consulting.
We do. I should listen to it.
I'm really happy that you were able to pick up and kind of increase your consulting stuff between jobs, especially in light of COVID. So that's awesome that that's been there between between gigs, and you get to work in Rails, which is probably a nice, refreshing thing to do. Cool. So this week, I actually wanted to have a conversation about JavaScript frameworks is the main thing we want to talk about. Our episode a few weeks ago, we did CSS frameworks, and I feel like it was a good kind of introduction and high-level talk through some different frameworks and different ones people have used or not used, and we've both used. So I wanted to kick things off with, and I realized we didn't really explain this last time, what is a framework in general, and more general concept of a software framework. So we have languages. Everybody listening to this podcast knows what languages are, and everybody listening probably knows what the frameworks is. But I like this analogy. I was at Lowe's the other day, and they had pre-assembled fence sections, like 8-foot sections with all the boards, crossbars, supports, all perfectly laid out for like the most like perfect backyard fence. You just buy these sections and then string them together and you have a perfect fence. And so to me, that's in a lot of ways what a framework can be for you. A set of pre-built components that you can just stand up between your neighbor and another thing. So these kind of purpose-built different components to plug in. And building a fence, you could go to the forest, you could cut down trees, you could make your own boards, you could mine raw iron and forge your own nails to build a fence. And that's what like building something in BASIC would be, building with the lowest level order of materials. But then as you go through, there's different layers of abstractions that you can use to create other things. So a simple example would be a 2x4 is in a way a starting point, a framework for you, a building block to build with. And so as we talk about frameworks, it's kind of these starting points of components, pre-assembled little units and blocks, or maybe even it's just something like a brick could be an example of a framework that's a lot more simple. And there's a whole spectrum here of how complex some of these frameworks get and how contrived the kind of pre-existing components get. Is it all the way up to a pre-built fence with everything laid out, or is it just a 2x4? So that's, I found that analogy. I was like, that's kind of cool. And that works pretty well to explain this at a high level. So, but what about you, JP? How would you explain a framework maybe on a more technical level?
What is a framework? Wow, that's a really good question. And I think it's important not to hear the word components and instantly think.
Yeah, React components.
Yes, or even like Vue components. Yeah, I think components are a thing too. Wow, that's a really interesting way to put it. I think that, I don't know, I don't really have a good technical definition for you either, but I think the way that I would describe it is similar, right? Because like you have building blocks, but a framework might take a couple of building blocks and make a building block from a group of building blocks. And it's like a recipe that you can use to build upon later, right? Because like, I don't know, programming is all about abstractions. And every time you, not every time. So like you always want to make your life easier, right? And how do we do that? We usually do that by taking abstractions over something that is like either a pain in the ass to write, or like a bunch of boilerplate, or like really hard to understand. And we put a layer of abstraction over it, and it's like nice, right? Like I can only imagine what document.querySelector is doing underneath the hood with like JavaScript. Like I'm sure there's like some crazy, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot here by saying stuff that's wrong. I don't know, like some C++ weird like browser binding.
At some point, there's something that binds
or something,
to the, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And like looks for sort of stuff, right? Like I have no
this
idea.
Shows we're not computer scientists, okay?
Yeah,
we're not at all. We're software devs. We're web devs.
Like who knows what it takes to get to actually target an element, right? So like when you declare something as like an ID and you target it with like a document.getElementById, there's like something going on there that we have no idea about. And even that has become a pain in the ass. So what we've done is like, okay, how can we put another layer of abstraction over that? And it feels like, okay, hey, we're doing a lot of these abstractions and you notice a pattern of like, hey, we do these things a ton of times and we usually do them in this specific grouping. Why don't we put an abstraction over that? And I think at that point, when you start doing that is when you're like, okay, let's make a framework on top of it. So it's
like
just
when
like,
the level of abstraction and prescriptiveness goes even higher, which is really interesting. Yeah. And I like this idea that you're talking about that it's abstractions. And I think the other piece is best practices. And because it's not always necessarily code that's run, like for example, Rails, the idea of putting your controllers inside this folder structure in this way, and other frameworks do that as well. It's not necessarily in the code that framework is creating that organization around your code or best practice, but it's kind of in the overall ethos of the framework and what it does. Like when you work in React, you generally organize it this way. This is what Create React App does. And this is a great starting point. It's opinionated and it has an opinion on how to actually build things. And it's interesting too, because all of these frameworks, even going back to the CSS framework episode, they allow you to break out of them or override them or break their rules. And I think it's important to understand them. And I think it's important sometimes to break them. Like that can be a really good practice to do when it's like, ooh, this is doing too much here. I'm going to just kind of short circuit that and do it this way in this specific use case, which I think is important. So I want to talk a little bit about framework versus library. And so frameworks is... The line, I think, in JavaScript world is maybe a little bit blurry. So, for example, libraries, there's jQuery, there's Lodash, underscore. Those are all JavaScript libraries, and you may or may not have used some of these in the past. But they're like a collection of JavaScript code that helps you do things easier. So before ES6, I think it was, introduced like for each loops within JavaScript, so you can just do it natively and it's a lot easier. Lodash made that a lot easier. jQuery made that easier to like iterate through a group of things in JavaScript. You'd bring in the library of Lodash or jQuery. jQuery makes it easier to select items on the page and kind of interact with the DOM. But I think we've come even further from the starting point of libraries, and we've gotten to a point where it's so cohesive and it offers this end-to-end solution for back-end, front-end, or both, that's when it starts to become a framework versus just a library, where libraries can be used within frameworks. But I think this line is a bit blurry as well. Do you have any thoughts on frameworks versus libraries, JP?
Yeah, just like based on sort of like your definition there, it sounds like libraries are the building blocks, right? It's like an early level of abstraction. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's like wars on this online over like, oh, React's a library. No, well, it's a framework, or, you know, there's like things like that. But I don't know. I guess it really all depends on what your opinion is. Hopefully we don't get crucified for saying that React is a framework in this episode.
Yeah, I hope not. And I'm not making any strong opinion there. It's just like generally the way I see it. Okay. So that's there. So, so let's talk through kind of JavaScript frameworks, JavaScript ecosystems. Where do we want to start in this thing?
That's funny. I have a little note here about how frustrating the JavaScript ecosystem is, but we should save that for a different episode. We should start with like, let's just talk about like the four big players in the space. Currently.
So I did a little research here, and I found an order of creation date, which I thought would be interesting to talk about, because a lot of these kind of build on their concepts. There's so many JavaScript frameworks, and there's the evergreen joke that five JavaScript frameworks have been invented since we started this podcast. And it feels that way sometimes because JavaScript moves so fast. But really, to kick things off, the original gangster, like the first, the oldest and biggest JavaScript project, I would say, and it's still heavily used worldwide, is jQuery. It's not necessarily a framework, but there's a lot of websites out there that are just HTML and jQuery, and that literally that's the whole site. So if you go with that definition that it can be a full stack solution, not necessarily full stack, but it can be a comprehensive solution, I'll say. jQuery holds to that, and it's been around for a very long time in internet years. Its initial release is in 2006. But it's interesting to see like its popularity on GitHub is like not all that high. It has 53,000 stars, where React has almost 150,000 stars. So I think that might be because jQuery has been around so long. It's viewed by a lot of people as maybe old and antiquated and not a best practice anymore. It's a little bit of a bloated library is a criticism it gets, because it can be pretty large if you import the entire library. But it can be really powerful, and there's not any reason to avoid it if you use it well. And I've met lots of devs who love and use jQuery and create great stuff with it. So I don't know. I think that's a little bit of a controversial one to bring up, because I think there's a lot of jQuery diehards and a lot of people who see it as just like old and broken, and that's old internet and that's, you know, Web 2.0 shit. Do you have an opinion on jQuery, JP? Wow, that's hard to say.
Dude, was jQuery just too early to the game? Like, were they just too early? I mean, there's like so much cool stuff you could do with jQuery. Like,
it is powerful, man.
Like, you can do Ajax calls and stuff like that. Like, I know that some people would bring it in just because you could do like Ajax calls. And if you think about like what, I don't know, when I think about what I do with React these days, it's like I just need some sort of like, one, state management, two, being able to easily manipulate the DOM, and three, some sort of like fetching, right? Mm-hmm. And I think jQuery gives you all of that. I don't know if it does like a state management thing. Like, I actually don't know. I have never worked with jQuery enough to be like, I need state management. But I really feel like you can do so much with it, like so easily. I don't know why it gets a lot of hate. But I don't know. I'm not like in love with it or anything, but I do I do think that it's like actually really easy to use.
Definitely. I like the syntax, like the money sign syntax was really novel when it first came out and works really well. I feel like when I first used jQuery, it was like in my old just HTML CSS days, it's like, oh, I need to make this contact form actually send the email. So then it's like, okay, bring in jQuery. Like that's how you do all that kind of stuff. Whenever you make it. But I think one of the downsides from the last time I've used jQuery, and I don't think this has changed in the library, is that there isn't this concept of data binding. So you very much have to manage updating the DOM and like sending things back and forth to an external source and bringing them in and refreshing that interface. And so if you're trying to, you know, when you click this button, make it go do something and then give me back its value, you have to manage all of those up manually updating the DOM. And jQuery does provide some great libraries to do that, but it's not going to have anything that I would call data binding, which I'm not sure is the right definition or not, which is when something updates in the database, like automatically refresh my screen or automatically like couple my front end to my back end data source in a way that is a lot easier to work with. And I think jumping off that, where jQuery started, Angular really picked up in my mind, and this could be way off. I'm probably blurring over tons of other libraries and frameworks, but these are the biggest four kind of in order. So jQuery, and then we move into Angular, which came out in 2010. And I feel like Angular was the first JavaScript framework that I ever really used deeply. The original version of the WizTutor app was actually written in Angular, but it was through Cordova to create like a mobile app with all using Angular. And I did a lot of work in that when it first came out. And it's been years since I've done it. So I worked in this Angular project, which I know Angular has moved through. They went to like 1.0, 1.5, 2.0, and then they just did like Angular. It was like the new Angular, which is like technically 2.5 or 3.0, but they just like removed the version numbers. And they actually like changed their website from like angularjs.org to angular.io. So the library has made a really big, more modern jump in recent years. They've done this big angular.io migration. But it's still really heavily used. It's got 60,000 GitHub stars, so it's ahead of jQuery. But it was the first project I used that did that like magic data attributes that looked something like HTML that kind of bound the data to my data source, whether it be a database or an API endpoint, in a way that just felt completely fucking amazing. And it took at the time when I used it a lot of boilerplate, a lot of spinning up. It felt very React in that way, that there's a lot of stuff you had to kind of wire it up. But once you got it wired up, it was just so incredible to have like single page without refresh things happening on the screen. And it was the first time that I was able to wire up a like button and have that like count update across screens and have that state push live with that kind of live data binding that just felt so fucking amazing.
Right. But like you have those directive things where you just like plop them right into like an HTML tag and it's like magic.
There's something that feels good about that. And I think that Vue, which we'll talk about in a second, honestly, in a lot of ways is a little bit inspired from my perspective. It feels, writing Vue now feels like the best of Angular when I was working with Angular. That's how it feels to me, at least in some ways. Okay. Just in some small ways, because it's very HTML-y and you've got those data attributes that kind of bind things together. And that's like, that's kind of how it works, which is interesting. Have you ever worked with Angular at all, JP?
No, I haven't. Although Angular was, I remember the first thing I saw in terms of like what are JavaScript frameworks. And I remember like, you know, just finishing learning how to, you know, make Rails apps. And this like online curriculum that I was following at the, like this open source online curriculum that I was following at the time was like, oh, now go into JavaScript frameworks. And I remember like looking at Angular and just like Googling stuff. And the first thing that came up that I saw was like the W3 schools, like Angular tutorial thing. And I was just like, so complicated. And I had no idea what the fuck anything was. And they give you this like simple example of like, how do you append something to a list? And it was just like, how is this JavaScript? Like, I know what JavaScript is, but I don't understand how this is JavaScript. It just like broke my mental model completely. And I just like never looked at it ever again. And I know that it was like, I know that Angular is like an MVC thing. Like it's like a model view controller framework on top of of JavaScript. I don't know. Like, I just don't understand how that abstraction works. But that being said, I haven't looked at it since then. And I'm sure that, like, having a little bit more context in the world of JavaScript, I can probably look at it now and be like, okay, I maybe understand this a little bit more. But I just haven't seen, I just haven't had the reason to do that. And I wonder if, like, you know, I wonder if there's even like a job market out there for, I mean, there's always a job market out for like XYZ programming language, right?
Yeah, but
like,
sure.
I just haven't seen that being so prevalent in, you know, in my job hunt, for example, that like, I've never been hit up on LinkedIn with a cold email that was like, we're looking for Angular devs.
Yeah. I do remember like when I first started doing code, Angular was the hotness. It was like Angular and Meteor were the big ones that everybody was building in. Cause that was the only real ways, you know, 2013, 2012, like it's so long ago now, but like that's, and even like 2015, like a lot of Angular stuff was still around. There's tons of Angular sites and a lot of new projects starting in Angular. But it's definitely like the usage has tapered off. If you look at, you know, the trends and GitHub stars and what those things look like, it's got 60,000 stars. So it's, you know, it's there and it's a big project and it's used a lot. But yeah, I think it's tapered off a bit, but I think that if you were to pick up Angular and it's something you love, if you push into that specialty, there's huge opportunity out there for Angular development. And it's obviously still a very powerful and competent and well-maintained library framework. So I don't think there's any reason to avoid it, but it's also not necessarily the biggest behemoth out there. So speaking of biggest behemoth out there, let's talk about React. I think that's a little bit burying the lead here. It's third on the list in terms of when it was founded. So it came out in 2013, and I feel like in some ways React just pushed way further than this idea of single page apps pushing into abstractions really hard. I remember when I first jumped into a React app, I was just so fucking overwhelmed, like all the JSX everywhere. And even still, I am not comfortable in React. I couldn't spin up a React project on myself. I've contributed to and written a decent chunk of React and React Native code now, and I've done some tutorials, but I am by no means a React expert. But I am on the call with a React expert. So I'd love to hear your thoughts, JP. For me, I totally understand its value. And I totally see a lot of incredible practices, and the support is huge. I mean, if you look up anything online to start web development, like React, 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 it's all out there. There's over 148,000 GitHub stars, and it's obviously used by Facebook and a lot of other huge organizations. And React Native is really cool because you can cross-compile to native applications. But for my brain, it's just not the way I work. In a lot of ways, it feels like an overuse. I think I used the analogy with you one time. It feels like cutting a cake with a chainsaw sometimes. Right. It's like I'm just trying to do a simple job, and it's just really overly complex and powerful sometimes, I think, for my use cases. But okay, I will stop bashing on React for a second so you can come in and talk about React for us.
You know, it's funny because those like early days of learning React, I remember I learned React specifically for WizTutor because I was like, well, I want to learn React. I want to learn React Native, but like, because it doesn't really make sense to learn React Native without knowing React first.
Of course.
I mean, yeah, because you can kind of learn React and pick up React Native. It's like non-trivial to do that, in my opinion. But I just remember it being kind of painful to wrap my head around it at first because all of the tutorials out there were like immediately deprecated. Like I would like buy a course and then like,
that's exactly my experience.
It was so frustrating because it would be like, okay, this is how you do things. And then I would like look at the comments and be like, and then
it was moving
like,
so fucking
it's
fast.
Like, oh, this doesn't work anymore. You have to do it this way. Like, you don't need to do React.create class anymore. Like, you shouldn't be using Flux for your state management. And I was just like, I don't know what any of these words mean. and then it was like, oh, what's Redux? And I don't know at what point it just like all came together for me. I think it was like after that first refactor of WizTutor of our mobile app that I was like, oh, I get this now. Like, I've been hammering away at this long enough that I like eventually just got it. But man, I got to tell you, that first like 3 months of like learning it was just like so painful because I just like didn't know what was right and what was and what was like a best practice.
I still feel that way. I just kind of make shit work when I touch React. I don't know what is the right way to approach it because I've never had a need to. Like, it's not. I've never been this party responsible to really dig into React in that way. But I also think as a library, one of the reasons it's so powerful is that it has so many abstractions and kind of dependent libraries. So whether it be Redux or Apollo or a lot of these commonly used kind of sub libraries and projects, like there's a ton of abstractions in the framework of React itself, even its core, and then exponentially more if you start adding in these kind of support libraries that are commonly pulled in. But I think that's part of where the power is that it has a lot of these abstractions and a lot of like, it has its own vocabulary in itself outside of web development, I feel like, where a lot of other frameworks kind of leverage existing kind of approaches and language. React feels very, very foreign to me still. It's very hard for me to play there.
You know what's weird about writing React is that it there. Okay, so like I know that a lot of people in the React community are just like, it's just JavaScript. And I think people in the Vue community say the same thing of writing Vue, which is like, you're just writing JavaScript. I get that. I get that React is like, I'm doing air quotes, just writing JavaScript. Yeah. But it feels like I'm in a different world. Like, it feels like I'm writing React. Not JavaScript, I'm writing React. And I know that it's just JSX and then, you know, it's just JavaScript all under the hood. And you do things like map over collections, and you do things like, you just write functions, right? Like a lot of it is writing JavaScript, but it feels like I'm writing React in the same way that sometimes Rails feels like I'm writing Rails and not Ruby. I know that I'm just writing Ruby, right? But like there is a feeling of like I'm in this different world when you're in a framework, right? And so I think that's, you know what? I'm going to take a stance. I think that React is a framework because I get that it's just a library of functions, right? And a mechanism to do things. But in my opinion, React is so opinionated in the sense that like there is a right way to do things, even though people would say that like, you know, it's a non-opinionated framework. You can do things however you want, but like, not really. There's like a correct way to do things.
Sure.
Like there is a community approved a way of doing things in the same way that like Rails, you know, you just CRUD your controllers, right? Like there's a way to do state management and there's like a way to use hooks. I don't know. I just have such mixed feelings about React because like, I've just been doing it for so long that I feel like it matches what my mental model is of like how a JavaScript framework should be. And I think even though I did struggle with it in the beginning, like I didn't really have any concept of what, you know, a front end framework should look like. And so like it just became that. Like it's React is just how my brain works now. So when I look at Vue, because I'm actually I'm just like trying to learn Vue and doing some tutorials. Vue, on the other hand, in contrast, that breaks my brain, which we'll get into in a second.
But oh, like, funny.
Yeah.
That's
I just can't do it. But I don't know. It just is its own thing. And I guess that's what makes it special.
Jumping off one point you made, which is this idea that writing React feels like React, not writing JavaScript, even though, yes, under the hood, it's all just JavaScript. And Rails does the same thing. You know, sometimes writing a Rails app doesn't feel like writing Ruby. It feels like you're writing Rails. To me, that's when I don't love frameworks, when I feel like I'm writing code for the framework. Because Rails at its best is when you're just writing Ruby, and it feels like you're writing Ruby, which is just a fantastic language. And I feel like JavaScript frameworks, when they're at their best, it just feels like JavaScript. Because vanilla JavaScript is fantastic. Like, it's a nice language. It's very flexible. Like, it's a very powerful language. And so it's odd, though, because that's at odds with this idea that I love very opinionated frameworks. I tend to favor frameworks that have a very strong point of view and an opinion, which we'll get to Vue in a second, which Rails I would put in that bucket for sure. It's extremely opinionated framework. They say they're opinionated. And I think that's one reason why React doesn't feel good to me, because when I say, like, how do I do this? It's just like, Like, that's the official framework, kind of just like shrugs. It gives me a shruggy, like, whatever, like, it's JavaScript, go have fun. And like, yes, there is opinions and best practices, but it's hard to tease out what those are. Like, you kind of have to find the contributors and people tweeting to know, like, oh no, that's the way we're all doing it now, and like, follow the trends. And I much prefer a library that goes like, here's the way to do it. You can break it if you want, but this is the way that we recommend it. I like really opinionated frameworks. So I think that's just what I tend to favor in general. But let's move into talking with Vue. So Vue, which I was so shocked to see, it actually has overtaken React in GitHub stars. It has 164,000 wow. GitHub stars versus React's 148. That's a bit, pretty big margin. Vue is the most modern of these top four biggest ones out there. It was initially released in 2014. So Vue, we'll get into this whole ball of wax, but when I first worked with Vue was about a year ago. I did it on top of a Rails app. And this is after, I can't even tell you, probably five failed attempts to bring in React on top of a Rails project. Just to like try to, because the thing is, I generally work in server rendered apps. I generally, you know, if I'm under 100 milliseconds, 150 milliseconds page response, it's fine. I can have page reloads and the stuff I use. Like, I'm not, I don't need single page app, like, interactions, but at the same time, of course, there's times when it's nice to have a little bit of interactions that kind of fire things to the back off end and update the front end chat interfaces, those types of specific screens. And so for a long time, I kept trying to bring in different JavaScript libraries to solve that. I don't need it everywhere. I don't need to build a single page app, but I need some more advanced interactions here, and some state management would be nice. And some of those things would be nice. Chat interfaces within my Rails apps is a perfect example of that, where it's like, I don't need this fucking framework to completely eat the world. I just need some help here, kind of grabbing my elements and listening for data and updating state, like those types of things. So I heard Vue was good for this. And so I built this extremely interactive shopping cart on top of Vue. So you can add items to the cart and adjust cart quantities and add promo codes all without page reloads. And for me, it felt like magic. And I was able to bring in a very lightweight library of Vue, just extend the existing DOM that was already existing and the existing HTML that was there, working with regular CSS and HTML, work with my regular workflow. And basically, I was able to make this interface reactive, not in the sense of React Native, but I made it instantly reactive and interactive in a way that I wasn't able to do. With vanilla JavaScript, it would have been way, way, way more work. It wouldn't have been really possible to have this kind of interaction. And that was my first experience with it. I learned it and shipped it for that code all within a couple of weeks, and it was an incredible experience. Since I've also brought in, so that was on top of a Rails app. And then since then, I've also used Vue on top of a Shopify like theme, so a custom Shopify theme. I was able to implement Vue on top of it to handle like things like image libraries and again, cart interactions and e-commerce. And just like, it's been so nice to work with. So I'm not using Vue to create full stack applications. I know you can do it that way. And there's like Vue templates and things like that. What I'm using Vue for, and I have in my experience, is to just add these interactions and data bindings in a way that is way more efficient than trying to hack it together with vanilla JavaScript, and a lot more lightweight than bringing in something full like React. So I'm a huge fan of Vue for that type of usage, and I've used it in those two projects and a couple other kind of passion projects on the side, and I've really loved it. So that's my opinion of Vue, but now I'm curious to hear yours, JP.
The reason why it breaks my brain is because I think it's like one level abstraction above my understanding. So like it's like a little too magical for me. So
it is
like
very magical.
For example, if you want to like iterate over a collection, you can do like, I think it's like V something. It's like it's a directive where it's like a for
yeah,
loop,
it's V
right?
Collection, I think. Yeah.
And then it's just like item of items or something like that. And it just like spits it out. And I'm just like, oh, that's interesting. That's weird. Like, because I'm just so used to taking like an array and then mapping over it and then returning some amount of JSX in React world. Even though that's like a lot more manual of a process, I've literally done that thousands of times that it's just like, right. It's like no big deal. And another thing that breaks my brain is all of the directives. Like, I feel like I'm like, you know, that pain of when you're learning something and you're just like, oh, this hurts my brain a little bit. That's what I'm experiencing with all these like directives of like, oh, here's how you do something like on change. And if you want to prevent default or stop propagation,
that
there's like,
is a pain in the ass. I agree. I'm just constantly in the docs on all those directives. And I wish that they were closer to just the vanilla JavaScript. And like, I think that I already struggle for like the correct syntax of on click just to know what that is. Whatever the different ones, like on hover, is it hover on, you know, the different ones. And I think having a framework makes it even more like, ugh, yeah. So I totally agree with that I'm in the docs a lot with Vue to know those specific things. So I agree with that criticism for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily like a criticism of the framework itself. It's just like painful for me to have relearn all that stuff because with React, it's just like, if I want to prevent default, I just like call prevent default on the event itself. Mm-hmm. But like, I think there is like something you could chain onto a directive in Vue, which actually makes things a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But it's just like a level of abstraction that I have to learn, and doing that in the very early stages, at least, is like painful. And I'm just like so stuck in my ways of like, I don't want to learn. Like, I already spent all this time learning this, but you know, it's like medicine. It's good for you. I think overall, I do like that there is like syntax sugar over things like looping over collections. And I think that the syntax is like kind of cool, that it feels like HTML, but at the same time, I have mixed feelings of like putting all these directives in my HTML, and it's like a weird,
it starts to feel like inline styles. It's just like, it's putting a lot in the in your view. And you can get that problem of Rails, where you can put too much logic in your HTML if you're not careful. So you can get that same kind of a problem in the Vue world. But I think my favorite part about Vue is it's where in the React world, it's very all or nothing. Either this is going to be a React app or not. It's from my experience, it's harder to bring in just parts of React to do small things. I know it's possible, but from my experience, it's more of an all or nothing approach, because like you have to bring in this, where Vue's whole thing, like on their homepage here, their marketing is like approachable, versatile, performant, but already know HTML and JavaScript. HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, like you can just start bringing it in. And this is the other part that I love. It's incrementally adoptable ecosystem that scales between a library and a full-featured framework. So like it can kind of help you get started and just kind of be a jQuery for you to just like handle click events, or you can scale it all the way up and just like it can start taking over your application over time with more and more interactive elements. So that's why I like it, is because this approach, it feels less all or nothing to me. But at the same time, it is opinionated in the way you structure a lot of files. Like there's some really good, strong opinions in the docs that I find really useful. So to kind of recap, the top four biggest ones out there, jQuery, Angular, React, Vue, we've kind of given our couple cents on all of them. If you were to summarize this, JP, so for 2020, if I was kind of a newer dev exploring JavaScript frameworks, or I haven't gone to the world, where would you recommend they start out of all these?
Oh, wow. Honestly, probably Vue. It just seems kind of like, I don't want to say stable. That's like not I don't want to say stable and make it seem like React isn't, right? Or that Vue is more, I don't know. It just seems to be easier to pick up, because like you don't have to like completely destroy your mental model of like HTML and CSS and JavaScript, because it kind of just like adds, it just like supplements to it. It's kind of like HTML plus, right? In the same way that jQuery was a lot different than HTML and CSS, but like it was easy to pick up, whereas like maybe the React like paradigms can be like really confusing. I think at the end of the day, people's mental models of how the DOM should be manipulated are different, right? So like React might be easier for you, Vue might be easier for you, but I think generally Vue is probably easier to get started with and be productive with. Like I think that like toggling a button, for example, is probably like insanely trivial for Vue.
Easy with Vue.
Whereas like if you were to look up that in React, I think that like, you know, now we have hooks and there's probably like so many outdated, you know, legacy tutorials out there that are it's just like that can be overwhelming, and I get that. If you haven't lived through that. That being said, I don't know what it's like to be to have fresh eyes with React. Maybe if you come in with fresh eyes and only see like the new docs, it's like really easy to understand.
I think that's a good point. Yeah. I think that I have a lot of past hurt with React. And so it's hard for me to look at it with fresh eyes and not feel like, oh, I've learned this five different ways, because, you know, I did start, which is like good and bad, I started playing with React very early and it changed a lot in the early years. And I know it's gotten more stable over the years. I think I agree with you that I would start with Vue.js, because if you learn Vue, at least go through the tutorials and get it wired up, I feel like to extend those abstractions further into the React world would be easier than trying to go the other way. Like, just jump right into React with all those crazy abstractions, where Vue is like a little bit more of, and it's more structured. So that's the other reason I would say to start there. But I think if you're looking for a job, being really proficient in React is like number one. Like, there's so many jobs out there for React and React Native developers. So I think if you're looking for work, I would really recommend being competent in React for sure. And I've never followed that advice personally because I just don't love writing React. A couple honorable mentions before we move on from those four. I think Meteor is definitely an honorable mention. Ember and Backbone, all three of those are pretty largely still used, some less active than others, frameworks that pretty much do a lot of the same things that we've talking about with just different approaches and different levels of use cases. You know, those are all around like 20,000 GitHub star sized projects. So they're not quite the level of adoption. And of course, like, GitHub stars is a terrible reference point, but it's like,
that's
it's
our measure.
A reference point. It's a measure. Okay. So, you know, don't at me. So I want to mention for a second, and you mentioned this in the intro, this idea of frameworks of frameworks. Arguably, already these frameworks are frameworks of frameworks. You think about something like Vue, it has a lot under the hood and dependencies it uses to create what Vue does. So does React, so do all these things. But there's specifically like frameworks of frameworks like Next.js, which is like a collection of how you should use React. So Next.js is, I've never actually written it myself, but from what I know of it and what I've learned of it, Next.js is a collection of React best practices and libraries. And like, here, this is all compiled into Next.js. So you don't have to import React and all these different things. You just use Next.js, and that gives you everything and an opinionated approach to writing React. So if I was to go into the React world, I would for sure pick one of these today. I would pick like Next.js or Blitz and start with their recommended approach and sub-dependencies and libraries, because they have very much said, in this world of React, here is a best practice that just works out of the box. And I would kind of put Gatsby in that as well, is a little bit of a framework of frameworks, because Gatsby is a static site generator built on top of React. And so it's like, there's this whole world of frameworks, which I find really funny. And a new hot one that a lot of people are talking about is Blitz. So I didn't want to, and Blitz is supposed to be, quote, the Rails of JavaScript. So that's exciting to watch that project. Do you have any thoughts on frameworks of frameworks, JP?
You know, I've seen so many different, like, the Rails of JavaScript. And, in you know, I'm guilty of Googling that myself, of, like, give me the Rails of JavaScript, because, like, I want that. And, you know, there's things like Sales.js, and there's, like, all these different things. And
oh, yeah, that one.
It, I don't know. I stopped looking at it because it gets so overwhelming. But it's also crazy that Blitz is, like, an abstraction on top of Next.js, which is an abstraction on top of React. And it's like, there's just like so many layers of abstraction there. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's not a good thing. Who knows? Like, who knows what debugging that is like? And like, it I don't know. It's just a crazy concept to have that abstraction on top of Next.js. But, you know, Next.js, I think, is like big enough that like, it's probably stable and probably cool to experiment, you know, building things on top of.
For sure, for sure. And I think my last mention I'll throw out there, because I've just mentioned on so many other podcasts, is Stimulus. So this is specifically in the Rails world mostly. I think other people use the library other places. Stimulus is basically a really, really lightweight view that is very heavily optimized for Rails. So it lets you really easily wire things into controllers, listen for events, and kind of push updates through different state management. But like it doesn't have its own state management built in. It essentially is just, I would honestly put it closer to a library than a framework, because it just helps you manage data, pass events, and in a way that's a lot more modern. There's a lot of really interesting stuff going on, though, with Stimulus and a new project called Reflex, which basically uses Action Cable plus Stimulus JavaScript to like actively pass events through different states. So, you know, if I'm clicking a like button, it live refreshes in different pages. I did a weekend project that was basically like making a very lightweight kind of Notion editor Twitter thing. And it was crazy because just basically I can have four different web pages open and every single point of data just stays in perfect live reload, like a single page app across all four of those, but it's all written in a standard Rails app with a server. So I'm actually really excited and very bullish on that approach, because it kind of uses the best of both worlds, and that you get this very structured, opinionated, server-driven approach, but you get that live kind of page reload interactive elements when you need them. So I'm really excited about that and bullish on that. But But I think the reason I kind of just like put it as a footnote is because it's very Rails specific. So if you don't have Rails under the hood, I wouldn't really worry about checking out Stimulus.
Yeah, I'm actually a lot more excited. Like, that makes me want to just not do any JavaScript framework and just only stay within Stimulus and ActionCable. Like, I wouldn't know how to do that in React, where like if a table, if like a column in a database updated, like how do I update other people's web pages? Like, that's not, I mean, you'd have to do like a WebSocket thing, and it's like, that sounds like a pain in the ass to me. But within the confines of Rails, I'm just saying that because I prefer writing Rails much more than I prefer writing JavaScript. But like, I don't know, that to me is really, really exciting. And finally, like, some modernness in like how we do like live reloads or like live data updating,
live data refresh. Yeah. Which is like, there's all these hacky ways to do it with pulling and checking for new data. But I feel like this combination of Stimulus plus ActionCable it's really fucking powerful. And so far it's been great. I think the big criticism is that it's all Redis servers under the hood to push that data between. And so if you get into a very high scale, that gets very expensive to be performant at scale. But I think that's like tens of thousands of users. So great. I'd love to solve those problems if I ever get to them. So it's not something that I'm going to worry about for now. But in my use cases, which is like 100 or a few hundreds of active users trying to do that page reloads, maybe a thousands at most, it's great and super performant. So I have no problems in my kind of world that I'm playing. So to wrap things up, do you have any tips, JP, for kind of using JavaScript frameworks, when to not use them? You know, do you have to go all in, or frameworks necessary? Do you have any kind of final thoughts on adapting a JavaScript framework?
I do. I think my first, I don't know, first and foremost, I think you should learn how to do things with document.querySelector.
Mm-hmm. Like vanilla JavaScript first.
Just start there, because you can do so much with like just doing like .innerHTML or like getting the content of things, because you will run into scenarios where you will have to do those things within a framework, and you're going to be like, how do I do this? And I think just knowing vanilla JavaScript gives you a leg up in knowing what to Google for when you inevitably get stuck inside of your framework. And also, it kind of sucks when, like, you know, you have a CSS framework like Tailwind's UI, and there's no JavaScript, which is great, right? Because you're not like bound to like in the same way that Bootstrap brought in jQuery and Popper and all that stuff. You run into a thing where you're like, well, how do I turn this into a React component? And like, sometimes you're like, well, I don't want that to be a React component. And that's when you just use vanilla JavaScript, baby. Like, you don't always need the chainsaw to cut the cake. Sometimes you just have a cake and you don't have a, you know, something that you cut chainsaws with typically. So start there and, you know, just like know what to Google. And I think that will like really, really make you a lot more productive.
Yeah, I think that's a really good tip. I think with any framework, even when it comes with Rails and Ruby, like, know Ruby first. Be able to write Ruby code and have a good understanding of Ruby first before you start playing with Rails. Same with CSS frameworks. Understand CSS, how it works, before you start trying to bring those things in, at least at a basic level. You're just going to really bite yourself in the ass otherwise. I think the other thing I would say on a framework is go all in on one. Projects that I've seen that are just dumpster fires are trying to cobble together different frameworks and libraries. And like, don't try to use more than one in general. Like, maybe a library plus a framework, sure. Like a framework with supporting libraries. But if you're trying to bring in multiple frameworks and approaches, I even caught myself doing this in a Rails app where I had the Vue cart thing wired up, and then I was really tempted to bring in Stimulus to handle some other things. I was like, no, fuck no. I should just write this all in Vue. If it's going to be a Rails plus Vue app, we should keep that Rails plus Vue, not have a third fucking approach to how to write the interactive code. So I think go all in on one and just pick one. And all the frameworks we mentioned today are obviously capable of handling this. So it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. And a lot that you learn in one framework is adoptable to another framework. So don't feel like just because you've learned Backbone that you could never go into React. Of course you can. Just take the time to learn it. You totally can go that way. So I think go all in and use one. And I think understanding what's underneath frameworks is an important, not at a fundamental level, but just at a high level. Cool. That's awesome. So to wrap things up, do you have any picks for us, JP?
Yes, my pick is a weird one. It's this guy who makes like pixel art and like does commission work, and his Instagram handle is archiepix.ig. I have it linked here, so I actually got some work commission from him because I was like, I really want some work of my car. And so like I gave him a picture of like a Los Angeles skyline and a picture of my car, and he like made this thing for like $85. And I was like,
that's,
oh, that's
so
like actually
fun.
That's like pretty cheap for like,
that's your new profile pic. I was like, how did he find that? So it's not, you had that commissioned, right?
Yeah. I was because like I saw something on Reddit where like someone got like some art commissioned by him, and it was like a classic Ferrari. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I want to get that of my car. And so I did, and I was expecting to pay like $300 because, you know, art is expensive, sure, and especially sure. custom art. And he was like, oh, it's going to be like $80. And I was like, okay. And so I did it. And
that's fun, man.
I thought it would be fun to maybe promote him. He does like really cool pixel art, and it's like cool to see things that aren't typically pixel art, like 8-bit pixel art in mm-hmm. pixel art. I think that's like the draw to it. But that's my pick. I thought it was fun.
That's awesome. My pick this week is getting back to basics. So Wes Boss put out a course, Beginner JavaScript, and I'm probably like a little over halfway through this course. A lot of it is really, really easy, like stuff that I totally already understood. But the other 20% is a lot of gaps that were in my fundamental JavaScript knowledge, just things like destructuring or methods and JavaScript objects and understanding hoisting, like the stuff that's a little bit edge casey that I didn't really get, that I've hacked together a dozen times, but I've never really understood. It's a really good course. So I would really recommend this if you're looking into getting more into JavaScript frameworks. This is not a frameworks course, which I love. It's vanilla JavaScript. So whatever framework we talked about today you're working in, this will help you understand the fundamentals of JavaScript. There's really good exercises. It's just been awesome. I feel like that's almost every weekend. I'm just cranking through this JavaScript course, and I'm really loving it. So call out to that. I'll link it here. We don't have any money or anything. He just does some great courses and some great work, and it's been really good for me to kind of get back to basics. So, all right. Thanks for listening. You can visit iterationpodcast.com for details about the show, links to JP and I's Twitter handles, and stay safe out there and go build the future, you guys. Thanks for listening.
We will talk to you next time.